This is the Cross Campus Ministry Podcast, where you can break the chains, stop the roller coaster lifestyle, live free in Christ, starting now.
Hello, this is Mike Johnson. Welcome to the Cross Campus Ministry Podcast, episode number 17. I have an announcement today, actually. I wanted to make sure I didn't forget. Will's album is out, and it's in iTunes. The reason why I mention it here is a couple people have asked about it because we kind of mentioned it on the prayer episode a couple weeks back. So it is available, and I'll go ahead and put a link to the iTunes store in the episode here if you go to the episode 17 on crosscampusministry.com. Okay, we did a Q&A session, a live Q&A on dating and relationships at Fayetteville State University, and we took live questions from real-life students, and we also had you, the listeners, email me some questions, and we read those, and we answered those live as well. We recorded the session, and I'm going to go ahead and play that for you. Now, the Q&A session was actually over an hour long, so what I'm doing today is I'm cutting it in two parts. Today is going to be part one, and next Wednesday you'll be able to hear part two. So without further ado, here is the Q&A session on Christian dating and relationships. Enjoy.
Another week to be able to come here, God. We ask that you would touch us, Lord. Forgive us of our sins, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for everything that you've done for us. We thank you for everything that you're doing. Hallelujah. God, we praise you and we thank you, Father. We give you all of the glory and we give you all the honor.
Yes.
May your presence and your spirit be in this place and on this campus. God, may you be in the midst of our fellowship tonight. In
yes,
Jesus'
Father.
Name.
In Jesus'
Amen.
Name.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, everybody, thank you for coming. Tonight is our relationship and dating Q&A. So we've been having some, don't mind me if I'm spinning around and stuff randomly. This is a lot more comfortable than those. And a lot more comfortable than those steel chairs. Anyways, so we've been talking about relationships and dating for the last couple weeks. And so we wanted to hold a Q&A thing because everybody is in some kind of relationship or has been in some kind of relationship. And everybody really has questions. And we're not up here because we have all the answers to the questions. But some of us have been in a couple of relationships, a couple bad relationships, a couple good ones. We learned a couple things there and learned a couple things from the Bible as well. So, I don't know. Does anyone, we're not going to take the questions yet, but just does anyone come ready with any questions today? Any Bible questions? Anything at all? Nobody did yet? Okay. So, what we're going to do, I have some questions that were kind of sent to me through the email. But before we do that, we're going to have Will Johnson and Chris Mason tell us a little story about some of their relationship experiences. We're going to start with Will and then Chris, just briefly, maybe less than 10 minutes. We'll say 8 minutes or so. And then, you know, just kind of share with us. It's not a lot of people here. It's like a small group, and we can share. And if you guys want to talk about your experiences, and we can all, you know, discuss those things as they're talking. If you come up with a question or something that you want to ask, just raise your hand and go ahead and feel free to ask one of these wise brothers up here. We're discussing. We're not just like out pointing. We're all discussing. So, with that being said, you want to share?
What is it, like dating, right?
Yeah.
Relationships?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, maybe, you know, the stories that you had that maybe you feel, if shared, could offer some insight.
Okay. I'll tell one particular, it's not like really a story, just kind of like an experience, I guess. I was in a relationship with a young lady that was going to school at NC State. That's all I'll say about that. But this was several years ago. This is not, I'll be 31 in about a month and a half or so. So this was almost a decade ago. But to show you how fast time goes by. But I was involved with this girl, and she was a student at NC State. And while I was dating her, you know, she had this concept of date as many guys as you possibly can, and just weed out, you know, the weed out process, you know. But it's not, she wasn't lying or anything like that. You just, none of the guys that she was dating were, you know, serious relationships, you know. Just kind of like if you're dating, I'm not saying what's right or wrong, just telling the story. As if you're like dating three or four girls, you know, and you decide, okay, well, I'm not serious with either one, and once I find out who's the best one for me, that's the one I'm going to date. Well, you know, I was like, you know, once my feelings and emotions start getting really tied up into it, I had to make a decision of whether or not I want to keep talking to you or get dumped by the wayside because you picked one of the other guys. Maybe I better make a decision now, you know. But instead of making a decision, that often turns into pressuring the other person into picking you. So, you know, we talked back and forth, and I really liked her. So, you know, eventually I told her, hey, the ball's in your court, and we started taking things a little more seriously. And, you know, as the months went by and progressed into a year or two, I found out that her philosophy on platonic relationships, male friends, if she's a female, right? I found out that her philosophy was there's nothing wrong. She didn't see anything wrong with a guy who's her friend if he wanted to just come over to her room just to hang out. And it was after hours, if you can get the door.
Sure.
My wife. Specifically like 10 or 11 o'clock at night, right? But, you know, I really liked her. So even though I was like, you know, that's a red flag and that's a no-go, you know, I put up with it because I really wanted to date her, you know? And so through the process of time, the longer I was with her, the harder it was, even though these red flags kept coming up, just to cut it off. And so I guess I'm telling not so much of a story, but a concept within that relationship. And over time, these red flags kept coming up, and we'd come to some type of compromise, but it never would get dealt with. It would just be prolonged through the relationship. So then that ended up getting prolonged for about 2.5 years or so. And then finally, when we broke up, it was never really, you know, resolved. So I don't know why in my mind I was thinking that, you know, well, it's all good, and if she, and here's the thing that she said to compromise. She said, well, because you have a problem with that, I wouldn't have a guy over my room. Now, I dealt with that, and I settled for that because I wanted to be in a relationship. But I knew in my heart that it was better to be with somebody who would say, I wouldn't do that anyways because it's not wise. Because what are the chances, and all of a sudden she decides to change, she's only compromising for me. So she doesn't really feel in her heart it's wrong or right anyways. Now, sometimes there are compromises, fine. So I dealt with that. And so obviously, so when I started getting deployed, then my brother starts telling me, yeah, all these guys are in the car and he sees them when I'm deployed. And she might not have been doing anything wrong. But all these anxieties and arguments start coming up. So that's just one of the little issues that I had in one particular relationship.
I got the same thing.
Oh, man. It's good. I was being led, perhaps.
So, Mr. Mason, after soon as you get, would you like to share something before we go into the other segment?
If you want me to.
Yes.
Okay. Well, the only thing I had to share is one of the relationships in the past I went through. I was one of those guys that was... I was good and saved. I'm not going to say the timeline. It was almost a few years ago. We'll put it like that. But the thing about it was is that I was in a I don't know if any of you guys ever been in a relationship where you're a mentor, but you have feelings for the person. Matter of fact, we were talking about that a few weeks ago. I was in a situation like that, and I ended up getting into a relationship that I knew in the beginning that God said, you know, you shouldn't have got into. I guess the one thing that I really want to share about that situation is the fact that, well, two things. The first thing is that I knew from the beginning God was speaking to me to not go any further, that the feelings were very real. You know, it was okay to admit that. But what ended up happening is I ended up dating this young lady. But she wasn't ready spiritually. You know what I'm saying? The Bible says, how can two walk together lest they be agreed, right? But the most important part, I guess, about that situation was this, was that me being a guy that gets attached, what I did is I gave my, I call myself giving my heart to her. Have you, any of you guys ever heard that? Or a well, female gives her heart to, you heard that? Good, good. I'm glad. That's, it's relevant then. But what ended up happening is we were talking one night, and this is as we were talking, you know, talking on the phone. You know, she was asking me, she was, you know, like, she's very serious about this. She was like, you know, how do you really feel about me? I was like, you know, I feel good about you. You know, I'm feeling you. I like you, you know. and I kind of thought it was alluring to, you know, the love. And if you really want to ask me seriously, I'm not going to deny and tell you guys that I didn't love her. Because the Bible says love is patient, love is kind, right? And it's unconditional. In other words, it's not because of, it's in spite of, right? I believe that I really loved her in spite of her faults. The problem is this, where I messed up, is that that night after that conversation when I so-called, you know, was sharing, and she was like, you know, would you give your heart to me? And this is getting kind of deep here. And I thought about something, but I never thought of it that way. And hopefully, I think I'm doing real good in time because I'm really almost done. He said I have 10 minutes. I think it's okay. I have 2 or 3 minutes. But anyways, so you know, we spoke on that, and then, you know, we're talking about the heart. And I thought about that. I pondered over that. And she said, never mind. You know, she said, because I don't want you to give me your heart and you really don't mean it. You know, and I said, okay, yeah, I understand that, you know. And she said, but I give you my heart. You know, I was like, oh, okay. She's really feeling me, you know. He gives me a heart. So, I liked it. I mean, I thought about it. I pondered over it. I'm not going to say I did a lot of praying on that situation, because if I did, I would have really listened to what God was saying in the beginning to not be in the situation. In other words, to be a mentor, right? But not to be in a relationship, because it wasn't time. The timing wasn't right. The Bible says there's a time for everything. But anyway, so a couple days later, we were on an email, and that kind of came up again. And then I said, you know what? I give my heart to you. Well, let me tell you something, man. It seems like all hell broke loose. I mean, it seemed like, you know, it just, what I'm saying is that, I gave my heart, the part of, to her that I should have gave to God. And I'm being really honest with you guys. I ultimately learned, we ultimately ended up breaking up. And I ultimately learned it was an interesting situation, a bad situation for me, very, very critical, but it was a good situation because it was an opportunity for me to grow, you know, for me to live, learn, and grow, and to move on. You know what I'm saying? But the thing about it is that I gave my heart to her, the part that I was supposed to give to God. You feel me? The unfulfilling, you know, that unfulfilling. Sometimes we have this void that only goes to God. And so that's the part I want to share. If I can share anything else, there's a lot more I can share about that situation. If any of you guys want to email me, Facebook me, whatever, you know, maybe talk online. We can share some stuff about that kind of thing. And I can almost put it in the category of almost trying to not make someone be saved. But we ever heard this? You can almost get somebody saved. You know what I'm saying? You ever heard that? You know someone that's partly saved or not saved at all. But you see them get into a relationship. You know they're saved. They're good and saved. But you know that probably won't work out because the person needs time to grow, correct? They need time to grow and to mature. You feel me? To get right with God before they involve themselves with something else. And that's what ended up happening. So I learned a lot from that situation. I learned a lot, and ultimately it worked out for the better for me.
Okay, so we have an email question. Before we get to that, does anybody have any questions yet? Before we go to any email questions, I want to make sure. Okay. All right, so we have an email question. I recently broke up with someone because they're bad for me, but I broke up with this person, but I'm not over the person. Do you have any advice that can help me get over the person that I know is already bad for me?
Good question.
Any advice for it? So the question is, do you have any advice
for me to get over the person that I broke up with who was bad for me.
Right.
I do have some advice because I've been there. And I don't know the whole situation, so I'm only going to speak from my heart. And I'm going to use, if Lauren, my wife, will allow me to even use a little bit of I've learned from her own relationship issues. But I'll keep it real quick. The best way to get over something is to get something else. Now, when I say that, let me clarify that. That doesn't mean get another woman or get another man. But you want to get something better than what you've lost in the first place. If you find yourself with a void, then you're more likely to end up back in the same situation. And most of the time what happens is we know about the rebound. And a lot of even worse situations happen on the rebound. If you don't fill that void that is caused, number one, by the fall of man, and then two, here your situation is in your own pains. If you don't fill that void, that space that God has put in every man in the spirit, then you'll be very vulnerable to fall to the next person who does and says everything that that person that you just broke up with didn't do. So in order to get away from the sweet sound of the next guy or girl, in order to deal with the loneliness and the pain of being alone, you've already got the first step down, and that's great, is take the splinter out instead of leaving it in there and festering. But once it's out, now like a cut, it needs to be treated like in an emergency room. And the way it's treated is to know that God is beautiful for situations. Just because if you're 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, let's just deal at that age frame. Just because you may be young in the world's eyes doesn't mean that the pain in your relationship doesn't matter to God. If you're anxious and in your pain and you're lonely, God cares. And so what you have to do is when you are lonely, instead of just being in the fetal position in your kitchen floor or your dorm room and in pain, because I've been there, you want to talk to God, one, open the Bible and really push yourself the same way you push yourself to study when you don't want to, right? And two, sometimes that's easier said than done. So now you, instead of isolating yourself and eating a lot of ice cream, you know, during the pain, you want to be around as many people that can pour into you the spirit of happiness, the true spirit of happiness, which is from God, as possible. Now, when I went through a situation, I was in a lot of pain because I didn't know I idolized that relationship. And so when the relationship was gone, Will Smith said a long time ago, before I say when I used to listen to him and different things or whatnot, he was talking, I can't remember what CD it was or what thing he was talking about, but he was talking about I think it was just two of us, was it? And he was talking about the pain of relationships was worse than ripping flesh or something like that, hurting flesh or something like that. And to an extent, it's almost kind of true. I mean, emotional pain is rough. So here I am in my apartment, here in Fayetteville, several years ago now, this is over about a decade ago or so, and I'm in my apartment, and I'm on the kitchen floor in the fetal position, just in so much pain. And the truth be told, the toughest guys sometimes go through this, by the littlest women. And sometimes the toughest women,
that's true, man,
by the most boneheaded guys go through this too. But you have to, instead of isolating yourself and finding the joy through ice cream and cookies and going to the club, go to church, get involved in the singles ministry. If your church doesn't have one, you need to find a church that has a thriving one. And let someone know that you can trust, specifically a pastor, mentor, or a friend who is of the same or growing more, let them know that you are hurting so they can pray for you and they can say, hey, what are you doing? Let's go hang out. Let's go bowling or whatever. And it just takes some time, but like I said, you replace the thing that was bad with something greater, and that's God's spirit and accountability from people who have his spirit. That's the best way to get over a hurting relationship.
Any advice?
That's good.
Okay. All right.
Sorry.
So I have another email question. I'm reading them here, but when the emails come in, I get lazy sometimes, so I paraphrase them. So I'm reading them, but at the same time, I'm kind of coming back from memory. So I have one here. It says, I'm in a relationship, and I notice my BF, my boyfriend.
Oh, okay. That's easy.
Looking at other women from time to time. Mm-hmm. He says he loves me, and I believe he does. If he does love me, why does it seem that he has eyes for other women? Do you want to?
I can just say one part, but I let him tackle. He's married, and he's in a relationship. I'm not. The only thing I want to say about that is... No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I want you to say something.
No, go ahead.
What are you going to say?
I'm done.
I'll say something real quick. That's... You always want to look at things in a big picture. You know what I mean? That's a big one. Let's just... I don't know what that particular person, whoever the person may be...
Just
or
generically.
Yeah, generically. But... One of the things I ask people, because I've been asked these type of questions before, and actually I've been there before my wife. I've been there. I've been the guy, and I've been the guy who was the girl looking at other guys. So I often ask them first, what was the relationship based on when it started? That'll often solve a lot of answers right there if you find out. So a lot of times what ends up happening, I'm not saying that this is the case, but what often happens when people are dating is they meet somebody and they're cute, and the relationship's based on emotions and physical attraction. When physical attraction is what the relationship's based on, then it's physical attraction is what's going to end up hurting you the most. You're attracted to them, and you believe that they're attracted to you. So when they're looking at someone else, let me put it this way. There's a book called Five Love Languages, and it talks about the different love languages. If you believe that him looking at you and not looking at someone else is him making a statement that he loves you, and to agree, yeah, it does. But if you also have some type of insecurity and you've been hurt before, there's a trust factor. There's all these things going on. He may be looking at someone, and that is now going to cause you to react a certain way. Now, that's not justifying, I'm just explaining because it's a very broad topic. But often that's what happens. There's a trust factor, and the relationship is based off of physical attraction in the first place. So if the relationship is based off physical attraction, and that's it, no God, let's say you're going to church and you're saved and you're trying to live right, and this person's not, then there's really not, and I mean this as sensitively as I could possibly say it, there's really not much more you can expect from the guy, especially if he's not saved. Your flesh has its own desires. Now, here's the thing. There is, and it's a broad topic, that's that aside. So I'm not advocating looking at other women or men. I'm not saying that. I don't believe in that, well, he's a man. And some people will actually stand up here and tell you guys things like, well, you know, you just have to understand that he's going to be a man, and men are geared to just look at things, and they like... I'm not going to do that, because that would tell you that the Bible doesn't give you enough power to be content in what God has given you, okay? But most of the time, we're on a campus, so let's talk about campus situations. Most of the times, they're based on the physical attraction, and we're just getting to see if we're not really thinking about being married, but we do like each other, right? And maybe the possibility is there, but we're really not. It's not all that serious. So, but at the same time, if you're insecure and the guy is looking at her, he really might just be looking at her because of her shirt. It's a nice shirt. Or he might just be looking at her because he thinks he knows her. He might be. I deal with the person who's asking the question first to find out what the root of the heart matter is. If that's not the issue and the issue is the guy, then I say, okay, if there's a problem, you don't need to be in a relationship. And here's the last point with someone that you know you cannot trust. You're not going to trust them. You're always going to have a problem with that. You're not married yet. Let's say if you're not married yet, you need to deal with it now before you get married. Because when you get married, that's an issue now that you've brought into the relationship, and you need to try your best to make it work, right? But if you're not married, don't continue to pressure yourself to stay in a relationship with someone you know you're not going to be able to trust. Deal with it now.
You want to add anything to that? Lauren, did you have anything you want to say about that?
I think he said enough.
Okay. Does that bring to mind any questions that anybody might have about relationships or dating? Also, if you do have a question about God or the Bible, anything, we can...
Okay, I hope you enjoyed that. You know, if you ever have any questions that you want us to answer here on the show, go to crosscampusministry.com. You'll see a tab that says leave us a voicemail. If you call in and you leave me a voicemail, you could leave your question on the show and we will play it and we'll answer the question there. We may even make an episode out of it. You can also leave a comment about a past show or just something that's been on your mind, something that you see on campus. And we'll play that and we'll discuss it on the show too. We want to make sure that we have a lot of feedback for the show. So go to crosscampusministry.com, click on leave us a voicemail. The number will be there, and leave a voicemail. We'll be excited to hear from you. Of course, you could always email me, mike@crosscampusministry.com. And hey, everybody, keep the feedback coming on Facebook and MySpace and through the email. I love to hear from you, and I love to interact and meet all of you. All right, so we thank you for listening, and we'll see you again next week.